Akwaba. This is AFD Tech Talk. We're a bunch of friends who meet occasionally to talk about science and tech in Ghana and beyond. We'd love to hear from you, so kindly look for us on Twitter and Instagram at AFD Tech Talk. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts to catch up with our previous and next episodes. And kindly leave us a review. Thank you.
Hello once again. This is the AFD Tech Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Salom Donyo. And today is another very special episode. I have with me two very good friends of mine who happen to be giants in the field in which they are. I mean, honestly speaking, they have no business being this damn good at what they do. I have with me here Bright Akwer and Peter Asari, who have something in common with me myself. We are all art lovers and all artists. So welcome once again. We're going to have a little bit of a ride over here and take you to our world and fill you in on what we love to do the most. Indulge ourselves in art. So the famous painter Leonardo da Vinci said, "Art is never finished, only abandoned." Human history has been just interspersed with art, right from cave paintings in Chauvet in France, roughly about 10, 20,000 years ago, until today, where we are in the digital age. Art has always been a means of preservation, of expression. That is what I think about it. If you look at every civilization, what has come and gone, right from ancient Egypt, right from Mesopotamia, we realize that these guys had straightforward art, and which they used to preserve their culture. Their king was often the figure central to their art and their gods, and they had a whole pantheon of gods to accompany them. Then came the Hellenistic civilizations, that was Rome and then Greece, the Roman Empire and the Greeks. And they were more anthropocentric with what they did with regards to their art. Human figures were more of the center of what they did, but they also had this whole soapopera of gods which they accompanied with their depictions. And you realize that they had always linked art to the creation of the sciences. Now, much, much later on in the Dark Ages and in the medieval ages in Europe, we had the Catholic Church, which had their reins on art as a whole. It means that if you're an artist, everything that they had to do had to be commissioned by the church. And this type of art was basically illustrations of the Bible or biblical scenes for people who couldn't read or write, because literacy was much, much more limited in that time. Now, Italian ruins were discovered a little bit later after that. And this gave birth to what we call the Renaissance period. And now Leonardo da Vinci was probably the most famous artist of all time. He was at the center of this period. He was the central figure in all of this. Fast forward, we had the modern movement, the postmodern movement, and we are in the digital age right now. Okay, guys, I guess it's time for us to hear your voices.
Yes, hello.
Thank Peter, you. Peter, yeah, I'm really glad you guys honored my invitation to be with us today. It's a dream come true. Let me go on a little bit and brag right now, because I've been following you guys on social media like for ever since I can remember. Bright was somewhere back in university, I think somewhere 2011, I came across your Facebook post, and I've been following you ever since. Peter was a little bit quite recent. Recent to me is 2015, but well, I've been also following you ever since. And here we are today, sitting on one panel, ready to discuss this very thing which we've had in common. Tell us about yourself, like, what you do. So I'll start with you, Peter. Can you just fill us in on what you do as an artist?
All right. Thank you for putting me on this
today. Oh, sure. You're welcome, bro.
Yeah. My name is Peter Asari once again, and I am a graphic designer. And I'm also a portrait artist. A portrait artist. I really do portraits, drawings a lot, and right now I'm doing my master's in art education, and I will be completing very soon. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What about you, Bright?
Well, my name is Bright Akwe, and I like to simply describe myself as an artist because there are a few things that I like to dabble in. A lot of my work lately has been in digital illustration, but I also like to paint.
You also like to paint?
Yes.
Can you fill us in on the tools of your trade, both hardware and software? What do you use to find your way around?
Well, I trained to paint traditionally, and so I use all the traditional mediums. And then
all the traditional. Do you realize that that's a very wide?
Yeah,
that's a very wide net.
I will narrow yes. it down. But so I draw with almost anything you can think of. I'm painting with acrylics.
So if I gave you a set of cutlery, could you do something artistic with it?
Yeah, why not? and then I also paint digitally. And when it comes to that, I like to work with Photoshop, because Adobe Photoshop, because it's convenient mm-hmm. for me. And I think that's the main software that I use.
Have you ever tried any software aside Photoshop?
I have seen Corel Painter, but at the time when I got it, my laptop couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it's a bit vicious on system resources. I have used Corel Painter before. Okay. And funny enough, I also prefer it to Photoshop.
Yeah, I think Photoshop is very versatile.
It's very versatile. It's very broad. You can use it for so many things aside just painting.
Yeah.
And what about the hardware? If you're painting digitally, you definitely have something which you're painting on.
Okay, so first is my laptop. So okay. I'm painting either on my Lenovo Y700
okay.
or my HP Omen.
On your HP Omen?
Yeah, I think for every digital painter, you need laptop. If you work with a laptop, you need something that is a bit more high-end and can handle heavy graphics.
Possibly with dedicated graphics, yes. like an NVIDIA card or an AMD card standard.
Yeah. And then I have a Wacom tablet, a 27-inch Cintiq.
A 27-inch Cintiq, which you paint on.
Which I paint on now. Oh, okay. I've tried with other models of the Wacom tablets too.
Oh, okay. So do you alternate between using the Cintiq and then the laptop?
Between the Cintiq and the other tablets, depending on if I'm working in my studio or if I'm on the road.
Okay, my understanding is that the Cintiq has a screen on its own, so you can use it as a standalone device.
Not per se. The model I have is not one that you can use as a
standalone device.
It's more like an input and a display.
You said a 27-inch.
Yes, you still
need... That is quite big.
It is big. So you still need a computer to power it. That's why it's always hooked to a laptop or a build system.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder why I would have a 27-inch display and always need to have it hooked to a smaller 17-inch display. Mm-hmm.
The mobile studio, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what they have.
There are other models of the Wacom tablets that can be used as standalone devices.
No, okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Peter? I've not heard anything about your hardware, software preferences, or the tools.
Yeah, I'm also one that I've been trained for many seasons, and I paint with the traditional tools, and also I paint with the digital tools.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say digital, obviously you are here because you're a digital artist. What's on your hardware? What software are you messing around with?
Currently, I'm using Photoshop. That's a great software. Well, I've also tried Corel Painter and their brushes and other stuff. I don't really like them. I don't know if they give you the opportunity to the room to customize your own brushes, like
Photoshop. They do, but it is not as straightforward as what you find in Photoshop. And also because of the mass adoption of Photoshop, you have a wider user base with a lot of custom brushes. If you do a quick Google search, you find so much, it's overwhelming as compared to the Corel Painter. So I do agree with you on that.
Yeah. So with the hardware, I paint with a, I used to use a Wacom Intuos Medium, but I had a fault with it. So I'm currently using the Huon.
A Huon?
Yeah, a Huon tablet.
And okay.
I mostly paint, unless I am outside. Whenever I'm home, I use my external monitor. Yeah, because for the digital painting, the best thing you need is a laptop or an external screen with a decent, very decent color reproduction.
Okay.
Yeah, at least 98% to 100% RGB should be cool for you.
Okay. Yeah. So you are also particular about the screen with which you are painting on. So not just anything, any screen works for you. Okay. So what would you say you specialize in?
Portraiture.
What about you, Bright?
I still think I'm a portrait artist too.
You still think of yourself as a portrait? Yes. I prefer to think of you as a caricature artist. Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong. I think it's all different ways to look at it, because at the end of the day, the caricatures are still portraits.
Yes, portraits.
it's where everybody, almost everyone I know, starts from. You know, painting portraits are a very,
like, the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's like the standard. It's like a standard. And so when people achieve that skill, they may choose to specialize there.
They may choose to specialize
play with it in other ways. Yeah. So,
how did you get into this?
How did I get into digital art or
art? Okay, let's start from art as a whole.
Well, I grew up around some art. My dad used to keep paintings for a painter back in the day. His name is Neo Jemba, though he's a photographer now. My dad used to keep his paintings in our home, and so my big brother and myself copied his work sometimes just to pass the time. And then what was fun became something that I decided to take up more seriously. And so that's how it started for me. I had a chance to go to school and study visual arts later, and then I went to the university to also pursue a course in fine arts. And so,
like, so it was something that you've been actively like pursuing, like the most part of your life.
Yeah, like there was the gift, and then I mean school shaped it in a certain way. So yeah, that's how I like to think about it.
Okay, Peter, I'm on to you now. How did you find yourself here? How did you find yourself eventually pursuing a master's in fine art in Winneba? Like, how did the route lead you?
In my home, art was like a competition between myself and my elder brothers.
Hey. Am I the only one who was born without siblings who I could spar with? Okay, well, over to you.
Oh, yeah. So whenever one of us gets something and draw, the other person wants to, you know, show that he can do better than that person.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was what was going on in there. But along the line, I was following my brain, and I like numbers a lot.
Okay.
So that one, going to SHS, I was a business student, and along the line,
this is interesting.
After first year, when we were in the second year, I was still in the business class, but it was like I found myself always drawing whenever we were in class. So I went to the assistant headmaster academics and told him, say I want to change my course to visual arts, and he asked me why, and I said, oh, I'm always drawing whenever I'm in class. So it was like a miracle. He just said, when do you want to, you know, move to the visual arts class? And the normal circumstance, you have to bring your parents and whole lot of stuff. So fast forward, I went to the visual art class, and I started doing pencil drawing after SHS when I found myself at a graphic design firm. Yeah, that place, you know, you couldn't paint because of the paint will dry and you'll be moving up and down and all the So I started doing the pencil drawing, and I moved to the university, started BA graphic design, and completed with the same BA graphic design. But I was still doing the pencil drawing. It was something that I loved most.
You loved most.
Yeah, I didn't want to quit the pencil drawing. So after the university, I wanted to pursue an art education, have a bit of educational background attached to it. Yeah, so that's the whole story.
That's the whole story. I would like to ask you, which artists have inspired you? Bright early on said that his dad used to have paintings which he and one of his siblings used to copy. That was a point of inspiration for him, which has probably led him down this line. I want to ask you, has there been any artists, both locally and internationally, who have inspired you or pushed you as an artist?
With the side of pencil drawing, the first person that inspired me to draw was a Ghanaian. That is Teo Pencil.
Teo Pencil,
I was 17 years by then, and I was moving through social media, and I
found this post.
It was like, but this guy, he's also 17 years and he's doing this. Oh, I can do it again. So I just hit him and I said, Charlie, I want to draw like you. The only thing you told me was to get good materials and tools. So I went to acrylics, got myself some tools and material, and I started, and that's how
it got you to this point.
Yeah, and I have other artists. He was the first person to know.
Okay.
Yeah. So other artists like Kelvin Okafor
who's also one of the best.
Yeah, and he also inspires me a lot. And one other guy, Diego Fazio or Diego Coy, an Italian there. And with the side of the guitar art, that one, most artists that even the main one, I can't mention his name, one Russian, I don't know if you know that guy. I want my coat, something. Yeah. And one other guy is Bright Akwe. You know, the time that he did those celebrities, Sakwadie and those guys for the Kweshia, that's the one he used to win. That one really triggered me a lot.
Also triggered you.
Yeah.
Wow. Never knew.
It was that one we were in school around level 200 or level 300. Yeah.
Makes me feel so old.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, so for our listeners who probably don't know, Bright Akwe won the Kwenyeha,
Prize
for contemporary art. That was in
2016.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's just a little bit. That's it a little, by the way. Okay. Bright, Peter just said you were one of his inspirations. What was your inspiration?
Well,
I hope the plot twist is that Peter was also one of his inspirations.
No, but I have seen his work. I definitely know his work.
Yeah.
This is just the first time I'm meeting him in person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I've seen his work. I know what he's doing, and I love, I admire it. If I had to name inspirations, locally, I would talk about Neo Jingma, because it was a very, very big influence when I was very, very little. And then there are several artworks that I saw, but then I didn't know. I don't know who the artists are.
Okay.
Yeah. But for those I can name, and when it comes to digital arts, there is Mike Thompson, whose work I saw and was the very first painting I knew was digital, was digitally made.
Okay.
Mike Thompson, and then following Mike Thompson, I discovered the work of Sebastian Kruger, Jason Seiler, Thomas Fluharty.
Oh, these are very big names.
Yes, you may know Hansen Akati.
Oh yeah, I do know Hansen Akati.
Yes.
Yeah, for us. Yes. I don't know. He happens to be, if I'm not wrong, there are not too many people doing surrealistic paintings in Ghana. So he happens to stand out to me because of that.
He's one of the first digital illustrators from Ghana that I got to know about.
You got to know about.
Yeah, so okay. At the time when I decided to explore digital painting, seeing Hansen's work inspired me, because then I knew, okay, there is someone out here who has who is killing it, and so I can also try and see what I could do with that. And so it was around maybe 2013 that I tried my hands at my first digital painting, you know. But then prior to that, I'd been painting traditionally, and so I think that was also one of the steps that I took. I unknowingly maybe made digital painting a bit more convenient for me.
Yeah. Okay, how would you describe the art scene in Ghana as a Ghanaian artist? Is it that competitive? Is there enough inspiration going on from your contemporaries, which are always pushing you to come up with something new and innovative, or you have to look outside for that?
I think there is a lot of inspiration already around us. One only has to be able to see it.
To see it, yes.
Yes, so that you are not caught in the mindset of thinking inspiration would only come from some external source. A foreign country or a foreign culture. I mean, okay. All the treasures are in your trash, if only.
All the treasures are in your trash.
You know, if only you will be trained or skilled enough to identify what is potentially a good idea and what is not.
Okay, Peter Bright just told me all his treasures are in the trash. Why are your treasures?
Well, I see there are a whole lot of great, great, great artists around us, wherever we find ourselves. Before I went to the University of Education, yeah, I wanted to go to KNUST.
Okay.
Yeah, but Ray Styles asked me to, you know, talk to the late Ray Styles.
Right? Yeah, the late Ray Styles. Now that you've mentioned Ray Styles, let's just have a moment of silence for our brother, who was also personally to me a great inspiration.
Yeah, so he asked me to talk to one guy who was Jonathan Kwagye Agri.
Jonathan Agri, the watercolor guy.
Oh, yeah. So, and he's also a great watercolorist, the first Ghanaian, you know, to do
that. He's done a lot of really
and he's
nice.
Been going, his works have been flying outside, and that tells me that, oh, if he's doing it, Amon Kote did it, Abladi Grover did it, we can also do that.
You can also
We have a whole lot of great artists, potential guys in us, and we can all do it. That's how I see the arts scene is in here.
Okay, so you say we can all do it. Peter, you are very much aware that as an artist right now, you are sort of like an entrepreneur. I want you to tell me about your experience as an entrepreneurial artist in Ghana, because you earlier mentioned on your, are you still working with the graphic design firm you told me about?
The graphic design
firm, yeah.
Oh no.
You're still, so right now you are more of like on your own, right?
On my own, like a freelancer, but because of school, I have to pause a whole lot of things.
You have to pause a whole lot of things, yes. But this is also like an entrepreneurial venture for you. Like, how's the experience like?
I don't know how to start this thing. I've been doing a lot of commissions, and that is
mostly what you used to earn.
Yeah. But my attention is not at that side. What I do most often is to master more on my illustrations and get more commissions from the companies and other. But the problem I am facing right now is most often when people tend to me and ask for commissions, they ask for illustrations or artworks. The moment I send them my artworks, their conversation ceases.
Why?
Does it? They don't come back.
Is that so?
So, They don't come back. The moment I send them my portfolio or any artwork, they don't come back. So one day, one doctor who was doing a book with some South Africans, publishers in South Africa, he came to me, he needed some illustrations, about 120 of them, and I sent him some words, he didn't get back to me. Not knowing my brother, my senior brother was his designer.
Okay.
So after a week later, he got back to me, and my brother told him, oh Charlie, if you want such realistic stuff, oh, I have someone who can do it. So he called me and said, hey Peter, I have a work for you. He showed me, I said, oh, someone has already contacted me with these images, and he never got back to me. And that was when the man said, when the guy sent, he meant me, when the guy sent his works to me, his portfolio to me, Charlie, I told my team that he's on another level. We can't pay this artist. He's on another level. And oh, and that's what's happening to me right now.
Forgive me, but that has to be a... no offense to him, but it has to be like a stupid way of thinking.
Oh, not even I will revert or any other thing. So it was just like, oh Charlie, I saw his works, but I told my guys that Charlie is on another, we can't pay this artist, so let's get another artist. And my brother told him, oh Charlie, just tell me, I am your designer, just tell me you need someone to do. And so we started the whole thing. And I don't know if you watched my status quite recently, some alien things. And
I saw something.
It was about aliens invading the earth. And that's what I have on the entrepreneur aspects right now, Charlie.
Okay.
But right now, because of school, I've paused a lot of commissions.
You have paused a lot of commissions.
I don't take much of them.
Mm. Okay, Brad, can you take over at this point?
That sounded bizarre, right? But yeah, it's something that is...
It happens.
It's very, very true. I know someone else who has had a very similar experience. For me, I like to think of my work as something more meant for transformation than transaction.
Okay.
And so when I create my paintings, I, just like Peter, I also do commission work. I work with some art agencies when they need work that they can give to me as a freelance illustrator.
Yes.
Aside that, I do some commission work, and that, you know, helps to pay the bills and to sustain
that helps to
the
pay
practice.
The bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then I have like a different set of work that I do for myself.
For yourself.
And I'm sure that is what you've seen more of, because that is what I also broadcast on social media.
Okay.
You know, with that, there's a way to also earn, perhaps sell prints if I want. And then there are just other things that I do, art-related, but not directly painting. Like other things that I do, like maybe I teach some classes, I do speaking engagements. And all these are, you know, ways of like making some passive and active income.
Yeah, these are things which a lot of people don't know about being an artist, because you basically introduce yourself as an artist to someone and then they don't think it's a real job. They think you are just kind of like hustling to sell
stuff. Maybe it depends on how you posit yourself or how you present yourself.
How you present yourself.
As an artist, yeah,
yes.
But it's difficult, just like everything else, but it's also very possible.
It's full of risks as an entrepreneur. That's basically why I'm putting this question to you. Earlier on, you told me, okay, I have a 27-inch intake, I have this, I have that. Assuming as I myself, okay, little known fact, I also happen to be an artist, although my problem has been finding time to find time. And the other problem I've had has had to do with capital, not just in terms of money. But I want to ask you, if I want to start out as a digital artist, let's exclude the fact that I probably have the skill already. What's the bare minimum in terms of capital I'll require?
Well, I think it would be something enough to purchase good enough equipment.
Good enough equipment. So
yeah.
What's good enough for you?
You don't need
exceptional.
The, you know, highest grades of, you know, you can still do very, very good work with very, like, the more simpler models of tablets. No, you don't even have to go for the most popular brands.
Yeah,
if so you can't afford it.
How much would that cost me? Just an estimate.
Wow. I didn't come here prepared for that. You know, for as much or as little as 500 CDs, you can purchase a decent
Wacom tablet.
Wacom tablet, but it wouldn't be any of the screen display types.
Yes, screen display types.
Yes. And
for the same amount, I bought an Intuos.
Yes.
I bought an Intuos like Pen and Touch, yes.
You can get those models to start with.
Yeah, because they are like €80, $80, €80, which is roughly around 500 CDs.
Yeah.
What about the laptop? Because earlier on, we established the fact that we need a decently powerful laptop.
Yes.
Peter here came along with his Lenovo
Legion Y730.
Legion Y730, which is quite good in every regard. So what do I need? I don't have enough to afford this, but how much do you think can get me a decent machine to get it off the ground?
Well, for maybe 2,000 to 3,000 CDs, I know people who sell laptops, yeah, like high-end laptops or high-performance laptops. So, you know, you can buy something decent. I would advise you spend more of your money on getting a more powerful laptop than even a tablet.
Even a tablet.
Yes.
Yeah, which is very true.
Yeah. And for someone like me who is also a gamer, mm-hmm, you know, my laptop is not going to be.
You could have a dual purpose machine.
Other thing you can do is, if you don't have enough funds to start, you can get a laptop somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 cedis. Then you get maybe 700 cedis for a laptop with a decent display, and you are good to go. Because if you are doing digital art, the main thing you have to focus on is the color reproduction, what you are getting first. Because if you are using a laptop with about 50% RGB, those laptops, when UBI is some people are actually anymore. You see that kind of, that one. Unless you have a good phone, and if you don't have a good phone like iPhone X or Samsung Galaxy's with the best displays, you are not even going to see what you are reproducing. And people will be, what you think you are seeing here, people will be seeing the different thing out there. You can get around 1,500 to 2,000 CDs, you get yourself a laptop. Yeah. A cool laptop, not that powerful, at least something that can handle Photoshop, you get yourself a monitor, an external display, then you can carry on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, monitor, an external display, and then you can carry on. At this point, we are almost out of time. Not almost, actually, we are out of time. So what we want to do is that we want to plead with our listeners to go on a little break and continue this discourse this coming week. That'll be perfect, right? Okay, so today you've been listening to I, Salom Donyo, and we have Bright Akwa and Peter Asari, two very good friends of mine who are also the guitar artists, who are here to me to share their experience, their life journey as an artist from then till now. Catch us the same time next week on the AFD Tech Talk podcast. Peace out.